My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
God, I believe the Lord put this word in my heart for you this morning, for us. If you have your Bibles, I'll turn your attention to John chapter 1 and verse 45. Just read a few verses this morning. I want you to see what Jesus says to Nathanael. The Bible says that Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said unto him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." And Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree," Jesus said, "I saw thee." Before Philip said anything to you, before you heard anything about me, I saw you. And I saw you at a particular place under the fig tree. Church, there have been many times in my life, many times, that I have felt invisible, unseen, alone, and even forsaken. But you know what that was? When I felt forsaken, when I felt alone, when I felt like God can't see me, whenever I felt that way, it was always because of one thing. It was just my own feeling, and it was my own presumption or perception of things. But the fact of the matter is that every time I felt alone, every time I felt unseen, every time I felt forsaken, the fact remained that every time I felt that way, I was wrong. I've never been right to say that I'm all alone, to say that I've been forsaken, to say that God doesn't know what I'm going through. That is always wrong. But every single time, the fact of the matter is, Jesus said it to Nathanael. He said, "I saw you exactly where you were." And this morning, if you will allow me for just a few minutes, I'd like to preach to you, Jesus sees you. Would you put your Bibles down and lift your voices unto the Lord, and let's just pray that the next few minutes the Lord would speak and he would have his way in this service. Jesus, we thank you this morning for your presence. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak. This is the word that you have given. I pray that we would hear this word this morning, Lord, and respond respond to your word, Lord. Your word's the only thing that matters in this life. And I pray, Lord, let it go forth and let us receive this word today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And would everyone say in Jesus' name, amen. Let's praise the Lord once again. God bless you. You may be seated. My desire this morning is, if you're like me, the next time I think that I'm forsaken, that I will remember that I am wrong, that I am incorrect, and that my perception of things is not right. But every time you feel alone, and every time you feel like God has turned his back, that is not true. That is not a fact. The fact remains that God knows exactly where we are and what we are going through. It is said that our population, the world population, is just under 8 billion people today. How many people do you know? When the world's population is almost 8 billion, how many people do you really know of 7.7 billion people? Probably not very many. In fact, it would be impossible for us to know everyone or even a fraction of those 8 billion people. Have you ever stepped on an ant pile, an ant hill, and watch the ants begin to scatter out of that what looks like something insignificant, but the hundreds and thousands of ants that quickly are going out of that ant hill? Have you ever tried to focus on one? The one that's getting closer to your feet? Probably more than one. Can you point that ant out in a lineup? Probably not. But you know what? It's impossible. You and I can't do it. But what's impossible for us is not so with God. God knows every one of us. Not only does he know us, he knows everyone from the beginning. He knows us completely. He knows all about us. The psalmist said in 139, he said, O Lord, thou hast searched me and have known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. The Lord knows your ways. He knows what makes you and I tick, if you will. He knows our likes and our dislikes. He knows exactly the tricks the enemy likes to play on us. He knows everything about us. For there's not a word in my tongue, lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Thou hast set me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. The psalmist said, that kind of knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high and I cannot attain to it. He said, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, he said, even there, even at that place shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. Church, it doesn't matter where you find yourself this morning. I know you're sitting on a pew at First Pentecostal Church, but listen, you may be dealing with some circumstances that make you feel like you're all alone, that God doesn't know, or that perhaps you're unseen, or he's unaware of what you're battling. It doesn't matter what your perception is. The fact is that God sees you this morning, and he wants to reassure you that not only does he see you, but he's got a plan for you. The psalmist said, there's nowhere I can go. He's already there. Even the darkness will cover me. And the night, he said, shall be light about me. The darkness hideth not from thee. And the night shineth as the day. He said, the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Jesus sees you this morning. You're never out of his sight. In fact, if I could say it this way, you're never out of his line of sight, and you're never out of his mind. Job understood this to be true. He said, "Doth not he see my ways and count all of my steps?" God knows everything about me. Jesus demonstrated this for Zacchaeus personally. As Zacchaeus tries to see Jesus, as the Bible says, who he was, Zacchaeus didn't know about Jesus, but he tried to investigate it, and the Bible said he could not for the press. Even the press was getting in the way back in Jesus' day. A different kind, but Zacchaeus couldn't get through. Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus, couldn't get before him. And listen, he had never met him before, but when Jesus got underneath that tree, that Zacchaeus said, "You know what? I need to raise my vantage point to see something I've never seen before." Jesus steps underneath that tree and looks up and sees him and says, "Zacchaeus." Well, we've never met before Jesus. We've never personally been introduced. We've never had any kind of communication before. But yet Jesus is willing in the midst of the crowd to stop everything that he's doing and says, "You know what? I've got all these people around me, and they've got a lot of questions. They've got a lot of things they want to know. Perhaps they want to be healed. All of this going on. But for one man, Jesus stops everything and says, "Zacchaeus, come on, hurry up, come down, for today I've got to abide at your house." And the Bible says Zacchaeus hurried up and he got down from that tree and received him joyfully. Listen, Zacchaeus thought he was out of sight. He thought that Jesus couldn't know possibly even who he was or where he was. But listen, it doesn't matter if you feel like you're at a distance or you feel like you're too far gone or too far away. Zacchaeus was able to get a contact with Jesus. Jesus said, "I know who you are. You don't have to tell me your name. In fact, I'm going to your house." There are some that have come to this church this morning and nobody knows your name, but there's a God here this morning who knows your name and knows exactly what you need. That woman at the well in John 4, she told Jesus, "I have no husband." Jesus told that woman, he said, "Go and call thy husband and come hither." And the woman probably had said this, in my opinion, before, "I don't have a husband." Her story was simply that, "I have no husband." And that's probably what got her into some of the trouble that she was in. But Jesus said unto her, "You have well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five, and the one you're with right now is not your husband, and that you said truly." But to Jesus, she thought she was speaking to just anybody. She thought she was just giving her story like a lot of people do. "This is what's going on. This is how I'm feeling today. Everything's going fine. Everything's good." Jesus says, "Hold on. I know the one you're with is not your husband. You're right. But you've had five husbands." The woman said after that revelation, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." "Oh, yes, I am a prophet." That's what Jesus will say. "I know what's going on." But Jesus is demonstrating that I know more than what everybody else knows. And when nobody knows what you're going through, I could see beyond the veil that you put forth. And this morning, some of us have come to this place with a good veil that we've put forth, with a good face that we've put on. And nobody knows what you're really going through every day. But Jesus is saying, I could see right through it. And I know exactly what you're dealing with. And I know exactly how you feel. Listen to what the Lord spoke to Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, before I formed thee, in the belly I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations. What a word to Jeremiah. The Lord spoke to him. He said, Jeremiah, many people don't even know who you are, but I know you. And I have sanctified thee, and I have ordained thee to be a prophet. God spoke to this man and said, it doesn't matter what anybody else sees about you. It doesn't matter what anybody else perceives about your life and what you're going to do for me. God spoke a word to him and said, listen, I knew you before you even knew yourself. I knew you before you were even conceived. I knew all about thee, and not only did I know thee, I formed thee, I sanctified thee, he said, and I ordained thee. He sees, he knows all about us. In fact, the writer of Hebrews said that we're looking unto Jesus. Who is he? He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He knows who you are, and he has a plan for your life. Make no mistake about it this morning that God has a plan for you. You look at John chapter 1. Andrew finds his brother Simon and tells him, we have found Messiah. We've found the one. And he brought him to Jesus. And the next day Jesus goes to Galilee and he finds Philip. And he says to Philip, Philip, follow me. So Andrew, Simon Peter, and Philip are so excited about who they have found that they couldn't contain themselves any longer. And when you find something of value, you have a hard time to not talk about it. Now, if it's not exciting, you won't talk about it. If it's not valuable, you won't ever mention it. But you know what? If you find it valuable, if you find it the most precious thing, for Andrew, for Peter, it was the same thing as well. For Philip, they couldn't contain the excitement of who they had found. And they found the greatest thing that man can find. And his name is Jesus. And if you ever find Jesus, Philip, the Bible says, he finds Nathanael. And he says to Nathanael, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. It was critical that when Philip informs Nathanael, that he not only tells Nathanael, we have found him, but he said, let me tell you about the him that we found. We found the one in whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. That's exciting. He said, we haven't found just anyone or anything. We found the one who we have been looking for. We found exactly what we have desired from generation to generation. We have found the one that it was written of, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hey, Nathanael, we didn't just find any old somebody. We found the one that the prophet said would come. We found the one that was going to be the peace that we need. We found the one who was going to be our Savior. His name is Jesus. Clap your hands unto the Lord, will you, all you people? Philip didn't have small news. He had major news. Nothing insignificant. It was major. But when he makes this declaration to Nathanael, the only thing that stuck out in Nathanael's mind when he tries to make sense of what Philip had just said, he said, "We have found him in whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. My goodness, you found Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth." But the only thing that Nathanael focused on was Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. The Bible says that Nathanael, when he responded, he said, "Can there any good thing come of Nazareth?" Do you realize he just missed the most important point? And he went straight to his own prejudice. Your prejudice will always block out what God is trying to speak to you. The church I was raised in was on Farm Site Road. Little church, small church, insignificant in the grand scheme of things. When we witnessed to people and said, "Come," and they said, "Well, we'll be glad to come to your church. Where's your church?" "It's on Farm Site Road." You could see them go, "Well, yeah, we'll be there." If I had a nickel for every time somebody says, "I'll see you there," I'd have a lot of money. But what they did was they said, "You know what? Nothing good can come from there." But let me just tell you, I'm standing here this morning because I found something there at that little bitty church on Farm Site Road. I came in contact with the creator of all existence. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. I was baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. And listen, I found the greatest thing that man can find. Oh, yeah. Something good can come from there. For Nathanael, he's so unlike Andrew, Simon, and Philip, that his response seems to discount the very possibility of Messiah, because Messiah is tied to Nazareth. He doesn't hear anything else, at least at the moment. Nazareth, in his view, like many others in his day, would not be the place Messiah would come out of. It was his prejudice of Nazareth. The first thing that he begins to voice is that prejudice. And some people, when you tell them the promises of God and you tell them the truth of God's word, or you speak to them in the midst of a message and they can't receive it because of their built-in prejudices, and they miss out on what God's trying to do because they can't get beyond it. Let me just tell this church this morning, we need to get beyond any kind of prejudice. And I'm not just talking about skin color. We need to get beyond every other prejudice that hinders the truth in our lives. His response is unlike the others. "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And if you and I are not careful, we will allow those prejudices to blind us to the very truth that could set us free. You need to turn it around. Some hear the scriptures, and scripture said, "If you confess your sins, that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." But people will say, "That can't be true. I can't be forgiven. I've done too much. I've too far gone. It can't happen for me." But if the scripture says you can be forgiven, you can be forgiven. You can have your sins washed away in the name of Jesus. You can have all of your sins washed away by that wonderful name of Jesus Christ. You can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. You can receive it. I like what Philip does. Philip doesn't try to talk him out of why he's wrong about Nazareth. Church, be careful arguing with people. I'm just going to throw that out there. Be careful. Because you may be wasting a lot of time and only getting yourself frustrated in the end. Philip didn't debate him. He didn't say, well, you got to come to my 8-week class and I'll tell you all about Nazareth and I'll tell you all about the prophecies. He didn't try to do any of that. He didn't argue with them. And we need to stop arguing with people. Explaining things is one thing, but arguing and fighting with people, that's not going to do anything. My 2-year-old Elise, I made her a sandwich the other day, and we were out of bread except for the two ends. And nobody in my household ever eats those two ends. And I like it because it's my backup to the backup to the backup plan. I've always got a sandwich I can make. But I was in a jam that morning, and I decided to make that peanut butter and jelly sandwich for her and stick it in front of her. Cut in half like I normally do, but it just looks different. And she began to tell me, I can't like it. She's 2. I can't like it. Not I don't like it. I can't like it. But what I have found is I'm not going to argue with her that it's the same bread, it's the same peanut butter, the same jelly. Just please eat it. Because she just keep telling me, I can't like it. So what I have found, the best thing to do is you put it there and you just walk away. You don't answer any questions. You just walk away. And if you stay away long enough, all of a sudden what she said, I can't like it, all of a sudden she's picking up a little piece and going, well, that looks like peanut butter. I think I'll try it. And when she takes one bite, all of a sudden, oh, well, wait a minute. That's the same kind of peanut butter I'm used to. And she'll eat that sandwich. You can't argue with a 2-year-old and win. But I have found, just walk away, because her hunger said, you know what? Dad's gone. I better figure out whether or not I'm going to like this or not. And she decided, I'm going to pick it up and try it. And you know what? This is the same thing with Jesus. I can't force anybody to love Jesus. I can't force anybody to be baptized in the name of Jesus. I can't force anybody to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But if you're hungry... Oh, if you're hungry, you can have your sins washed away. If you're hungry, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost today. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Nathaniel, I can't see anything but Nazareth. Philip says, I'm not arguing with you. Just come and see. And Philip said unto him simply, come on. If you're hungry, Nathanael, follow your hunger. And there are some, I believe, under the sound of my voice, that you've come to this church and you haven't been baptized yet in Jesus' name and you haven't received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let me just encourage you this morning. Just keep on coming. Just keep on coming. You don't have to figure it all out yet, but just keep on coming, because then sooner or later, this word is going to get into your heart and you say, you know what? I think I'll try that. Nathaniel, follow that hunger. It's your choice. Come and see. But if you remain here under this, I don't know if he was under the fig tree here or not, but if you remain here, you will miss your opportunity. If you could get into his presence, Jesus will begin to speak to you. The Bible says that as he is coming to Jesus, don't miss this, as he is coming, Jesus begins to speak. even been introduced yet. They haven't even been formally introduced and you know, hey, Jesus, this is Nathaniel, and this is my connection here. No, no, no. All of a sudden, as he's coming, the Bible said Jesus begins to speak and says, when he sees Nathaniel, behold, an Israelite indeed. In whom is no guile. He's an honest man, no deceit, and an honorable man. What a testimony you have, Nathaniel. So, my goodness. He knows me? How does he know me? And Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? One of the most amazing things in my mind is that before I took my first breath, those 3 months of being born 3 months early, and all the difficulties in my when I was born, all the problems that were there, before all of that, he knew me. He has always known me, and he knows you. He says to Nathaniel, listen. He's struggling with, how do you know me? But Jesus makes a powerful statement. He says this. He said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw thee. Under the fig tree? You saw me under the fig tree? Now, what is it about this fig tree? Jesus could have said, I saw you at the market. I saw you fishing. I saw you at the temple. Jesus could have said, I saw you at any other place. But he specifically tells Nathanael, I saw you under the fig tree. You know why? You know why Jesus doesn't mention any of those places, but he mentions that fig tree? Because Jesus tied his knowledge of Nathanael to a location or to a place that only Nathanael would have no doubt. That only God knew. Now people speculate what he was doing under the fig tree. And you could do that till the day Jesus comes back. I don't know what he was doing under that fig tree. But Jesus tied it to that location because there are some times when we're going through some things and we're battling some things that we need to know that Jesus speaks like he did to Nathanael and said, I saw you under that fig tree. I don't know what he was doing, but listen to what Jesus was saying. And if you missed this point, you missed the message. But when Philip or Nathanael was underneath that fig tree, he didn't know it. He didn't know it. But while he's under the fig tree, Jesus said, I was there. While he's under the fig tree and whatever he's doing there, something tells me that he needed an answer. Something tells me he needed a touch from God. Something tells me that he needed some reassurance. And when Jesus says, I saw you there. Somebody needs to hear this morning, that when you're walking and praying at night over your kids in the middle of the night, that Jesus wants you to know, I saw you and I've heard your prayers. When you pull the car over and you begin to weep and cry about the situation that you're in, Jesus is saying, I saw you there. I saw your desperation through your tears. I saw your heartbreak of your current situation. I saw you in the midst of your trouble. I see you today. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now? He said, Nathanael, I saw you exactly where you were. You are not alone, and not been forgotten. I speak against that voice that says that you are forgotten. I speak against that voice that says that you are all alone. I say this morning that God sees you and He knows what you are going through. The psalmist said it this way: the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him and upon them that hope in His mercy. You know the scripture says that He is Jehovah Jireh. But Abraham, you know the story that at the direction of God, he goes to Mount Moriah to offer his son as a sacrifice, his son Isaac. And God stops him in the midst of that sacrifice, of performing that sacrifice. And He supplies a ram in Isaac's place. Listen to what Abraham did. He called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. He called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. In the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. It was the name of that place. Abraham tied God to that place. And he was literally saying that God sees. And you see the scriptures of God always supplying the needs for His people, church, no matter what situation you face. Let me tell you this morning that God knows, God sees, and God will supply. Jesus even said that when you pray in private, when you enter through that closet, and when you shut the door and you pray to the Father in secret, the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Don't quit. Don't stop praying. Don't let go of the promises we've talked about this morning, sang about. When Jesus told him that he saw him there under that fig tree, Philip couldn't help but respond, or Nathanael couldn't help but respond. His response was not a question about how Jesus knew, but it was a bold declaration. Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You are what we have been waiting for. There was no more questions. There was no more questions about Nazareth. Nazareth was no longer important. Now it was all about Jesus. It was all about the King of Israel. It was all about the one who they've been longing for and waiting for from one generation to the next. And if I can get you out from underneath that fig tree this morning, it's time to stop. It's time to move from where you are and get yourself to where Jesus is. Because if you can get into His presence, He will speak. And not only will He speak, but He's going to speak of greater things. When you let go of your prejudices and you come to Jesus, He will speak to you. He told Nathanael three things. He says, I know where you've been. I know your past. He says, I know there's no guile. I know who you are today. You're an honorable man. There's no deceit. Listen to what Jesus does. I know where you've been. I know where you are. Somebody needs to hear this morning. Jesus says, I know what you're going to see tomorrow. I know what you're going to behold. I know what you're going to see in the future. He said, because I said I saw you under that tree, you believe. But hold on, Nathanael. It's not just that. He says, you shall see greater things than these. You haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. But let this be a warning. You'll never see greater things if you're not willing to change your perception. Because if Nazareth is the only thing you see, you'll never hear the voice that declares there's a destiny for you, that there's greater things that you will see from this time forth, and you don't want to miss out on the destiny that God has for you. Would you stand with me all over this place? Jesus said, Nathanael, I saw you under that fig tree. When perhaps you thought, certainly nobody knew, nobody could have known. You were the only one that knew. And you thought certainly God was the only one beside you who knew what you were going through. But Jesus said, I saw you. And for those this morning who think, especially at this time of the year, you're all alone. Nobody knows the pain. Nobody knows what you're battling. Nobody knows what you're going through. Let me encourage you this morning and tell you, He sees you. He wants to speak to you. And He wants to tell you that you're going to see greater things than you have seen so far. You can be forgiven. You can have your sins washed away. You can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can be healed and you can be renewed. What I would like for you to do this morning is for all of you, if you're able, to just simply come to the front of this church and begin to take that step like Nathanael did once again. Come and see. If our prayer warriors could come, I know I didn't tell you to come, but if you would just come and help us this morning. The one of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, is right here in this place. Right now, just go ahead and keep on coming. I'm going to give you just another minute or so, and then I'll instruct you here in just a moment of what to do in this altar. Your answer is right here. Jesus. Jesus. Would you lift your hands all over this place right now? Would you do that with me? And let's just call out unto the Lord with all of our hearts. Jesus. That's it. Let your heart, let your voice that prayer unto the Lord right now. Voice that prayer unto the Lord. Reach out right now with all of your heart unto the Lord. He sees you. He's aware of what you've been battling. He's aware of that heartbreak. He's aware of that family problem you're dealing with. He's aware that you're overwhelmed. He's aware of your struggle. He's aware of your weaknesses. He's aware of the temptation. He's aware of the trouble that's in your life. Hayanabo shatayarabo koboriatarabaha.
But the answer is here. The answer is in this place. Jesus is here. Jesus is in this place. That's it. All over this place, in the altar right now, just lift up your voice unto the Lord. Lift up your voice unto the Lord right now. There are people who are desperate for a touch from the Lord. That's it. Would you reach out right now? I feel the presence of the Lord in this place. That's it. Reach out. You're not alone.
The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is free. The atmosphere is changing now.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.